So our text for this morning's meditation is from Jeremiah chapter 23. These words, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in all three of our readings for this morning, we are warned about false prophets, false preachers. That is, we are told that there will be people in this world who will claim that they speak for God, but they do not. In the Old Testament, for example, in the Old Testament reading, such false prophets, such false preachers fill people with hopes that flow from their own vanity. That is, with the assurance that what they want to happen in their lives to enrich them, to popularize them, to make them succeed fabulously in this life will indeed come true. In other words, prophets, preachers, who proclaim what the people who listen to them want to hear. Not only that, but prophets preaching who tell us that all is well between us and God, even though we may despise the word of God or do whatever our hearts tell us to do in defiance of God. And we could stop right there with our Old Testament reading and say that such prophets, such false prophets, false preachers, we do indeed have among us today. Prophets, preachers who proclaim that God is ready to give to us all the earthly wealth and fame that our hearts desire, or that God really doesn't care about how we live our lives. So matters like fornication, sexual immorality, dishonoring of parents, murder, slander, no concern to God. Nothing is going to happen to us if we do such things or continue to do such things. Yes, such false prophets, false preachers, we already have among us today, filling the airwaves and the internet with the visions of their own minds, and so filling their listeners with hopes that flow from those listeners' own vanity. But it's not like God doesn't know that this is going on. For God is, after all, not a God who's far away from us, but a God who's right here, right now, knowing every one of our thoughts and words and actions. He always does, always will. And there is more. The epistle reading, we're told that there will be other types of false prophets, false preachers, those who take the word of God and twist it around to mean something other than what it actually means. And here we can think of how Satan himself in the garden did just such a thing when speaking with Eve. And then again, when tempting Christ in the wilderness. Such false prophets, false preachers we have nowadays in spades, in academia especially, where one professor competes with another professor to see which one can be the most creative with the Word of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, it seems, the four gospels in their interpretation of them. And in the process, they hope to make a name for themselves. Of course, in our gospel reading, it's the very Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, who tells us. He tells us, Jesus tells us, beware of false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. These are they who would use his name, name of Jesus, as a calling card of sorts to aggrandize themselves in the world in one way or another, not wishing to live in humility and love and service, but simply to benefit from some sort of association they have with Jesus. All such false prophets, false preachers are among us today and will continue to be among us until Christ returns on the last day. Nothing we can do about that. That's frustrating, right? Frustrating. The Word of God can be manipulated in so many ways so that we end up hurting or harming ourselves, or doubting the very clear words of Scripture, words a child can understand, or or somehow being impressed by someone claiming to be the right-hand man of Jesus, but in reality is drawing us away from our Savior. But let's not be discouraged. Let's not be discouraged here. And let's not be discouraged, for it's not as if such false prophets, such false preachers are not easy to detect and mark and avoid. I know, it's such a pain to have to do that, but no more of a pain than distinguishing between the voices that we hear every day, which, as it turns out, is not so much of a pain at all. I mean, we do that, don't we? And we can do that, can't we? I mean, when someone calls us on the phone and we answer the call and we hear their voice saying, "Hi, this is so-and-so," before they even get to their name, we already know who we're talking to just by their voice. I mean, that's how quickly we recognize who we are talking to on the phone, distinguishing one voice from another. So when it comes to those who lie about what God has said, those who twist the word of God, those who claim to be the very best friends of Jesus, is it really that hard to determine that they are false prophets, false preachers? Or is it that we just want to play dumb? Because at the end of the day, we kind of like the promises of wealth and fame and the new takes on the gospel readings and the dramatic show that, like, a faith healer can put on. Why? How could that be? Well, what we know of the Word of God just does not seem to be that exciting, provocative, active. Yeah, we go to church every week. We chant the psalm responsively. We hear texts from the Old Testament, the epistle, the gospel. And, well, it just seems like we're going to a library to hear somebody read, or to a book reading at the Barnes & Noble up the street here. Well, in that we're not hearing the word of man in church when we hear Scripture, but the Word of God, which is very clear to us, something much more is going on, even though we don't realize it. For the Word of God is indeed like fire and a rock-smashing hammer, a fire which sets alight our stupidities and vanities, sinful desires, smashes our self-perception, that is, who we think we are. In this sense, for us, the Word of God is living, active, working against us, and in working against us, He's working for us. Working for us, changing our hearts and minds, reshaping and remolding our thinking, giving us a new perspective, that is, the right perspective. Yes, exposing ourselves to the Word of God shows us our sin, but then also our Savior, Jesus. His life, His truth, in the forgiveness of sin, which is ours through faith in Jesus. So let's not be fooled by our lethargy, for the Word of God is extremely powerful. And since the Word of God is extremely powerful, that's why the devil works so hard. He makes such an effort when it comes to the Word of God. I mean, the devil knows he can't stop the Word of God from being proclaimed, so what does he do instead? What does he do instead? Well, he causes that which clearly isn't the Word of God to be believed to be the Word of God. The devil also takes the Word of God and explains away its meaning in the most creative of ways, so that we never quite are sure if we understand it or not. And finally, the devil causes so many people to use the name of Jesus to gain credibility for what they are doing, a credibility that they're not entitled to through actual faith in Jesus Christ, that is, faith which they personally do not possess at all. I mean, if the Word of God were not so all-encompassing, so powerful, why would the devil work so hard to change it in so many ways? Of course, the last-ditch effort of Satan is to have us not hear the Word of God at all. To do so, he fills our schedule, the devil does, with all sorts of activities and responsibilities and obligations, so that we simply do not even hear the Word of God. Sure, we have every intention of doing so, of hearing the Word, but we're just so busy. We can't find the time to hear the Word of God to allow us to be set aflame and to be smashed into pieces so that we can be rebuilt. Could it be then that that really is at the heart of the matter? That the warnings we're given in Scripture repeatedly about the abuse and misuse and misconstrual of the Word of God really aren't that important to us because, well, we plan to stay away from it anyway? But what can happen if we don't? If we don't stay away? Instead, read the Word of God and believe it and contemplate it, and when in conflict with it, bow to it and say, it must be right and I must be wrong. Where's the danger there? That we become someone other than we are? That we become willing to confess our sins so that God will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? And then we begin to attempt to love those around us in humble service, and a peace descends upon us as we no longer have to live in our own headspace by ourselves, but can be continually comforted by the Comforter himself, the one who is love. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, how horrible would that be? So let's open our ears to the Word of God so our hearts, our souls, our minds don't fight against God's demolition of ourselves and the beginnings of our reconstruction, of our being rebuilt in the image of God. Yes, that all can happen when we read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the Word of God, which is like fire, is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I mean, if the Word of man can have power and influence and be in and of itself life-changing, how much more so the power of the Word of the living, the true, the only God? Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. That's what Jesus said. So can we be blessed if we don't hear it? If we don't hear the Word of God? When I was at the seminary in Fort Wayne, there was a professor there who was feared by all, by students and the other professors. He was an enigma. You never knew what he was going to say. He constantly challenged and confronted and badgered his students. So intimidating he was, that professor, that many students set a goal of never taking a class from him the entire time they were at the seminary. And if they tried really hard, they could accomplish that. They could never have to listen to that professor speaking. Listen to his words. They could avoid it completely. And many did. Well, the first time I heard of that professor was when I was in junior high school. A friend of the family attending the seminary at the time speaking of him at a family gathering at Thanksgiving. And when I got to the seminary, some 10 years later, I found myself sitting next to a guy who had that professor's same last name. Turned out to be his son. And he was a really nice guy. Ended up, he took after his mother. So I took a class from his dad, and then another, and then another, and another, and another. His words were, for me, extremely helpful, insightful, causing me to ask the right questions, preparing me for my studies in Germany, which at that time I didn't even know I was going to undertake. So that which I feared, the words of this one man, became a great blessing to me. But if I would have simply refused to listen to him, then what? Here we should all be like the Apostle Peter. When many of the disciples of Jesus were leaving Jesus, leaving him behind, stopping, following him. Why? Because what Jesus was saying was hard. Hard to understand. Difficult. Jesus, at seeing what was happening, turned to the 12 and said, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Peter responded most powerfully, right? "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." You see, by listening to the word of God, the words of Jesus, the 12 apostles not only believed but came to know that Jesus was the Holy One of God. This belief, this knowledge was the work of the Holy Spirit, who through the word of God had destroyed and then was rebuilding, burning and smashing what once was, and rebuilding, regenerating, renewing them into something that they had never been before. So much food for thought, right, with our text? But that's enough for now. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith.